We're ready.
Just
the recording. We're recording.
Okay. Speak up.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm going to try and project as best I can. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Amy Sherrill. I'm the vice chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside me are the other members of BZA, and at the tables across the room are our city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda, and the agendas are on the table near the entrance if you have not had a chance to pick one up. Pursuant to the BZA administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, second, discussion among board members, and a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow 2 minutes to the applicant for a rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak on an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All members should come to the podium and speak directly to that device. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record, please. Appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. A petition for such appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of the BZA decision. I will now ask Ms. Scobie to call roll.
Amy Sherrill.
Here.
Lewis Duran.
Here.
Daniel Odle.
Here.
Brad Kelsey.
Here.
Good. And welcome, Lewis.
Thank you.
All right. First here is our minutes, the December 19th, 2023 meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? None. Minutes have been approved. All right, on to new business, file 1C24VA. 2807 Washington Pike. While the applicant's making their way forward, are there any further staff comments?
The applicant is proposing a 1,128 square foot detached garage in the R2 zoning district. The maximum building coverage for a single accessory structure based on the subject's lot area is 900 square feet. The applicant received a permit to construct a 720 square foot detached garage in December of 2011. However, the structure was never completely finished and only consisted of a concrete slab on a block foundation, which ultimately led to the permit expiring. The new garage will be larger and constructed beyond the block foundation that is currently in place.
Thank you. Okay. State your name and address for the...
Okay. I'm Lynn Johnson, 724 Taylor Road.
Very good. And will you describe your request and hardship?
Basically, this couple... We've been involved with them since 2011, and in essence, when they built this foundation, both of them were working. He was working with what used to be Gerda Almer Steel, and I don't know where Sandy was working, but basically those folks are in their early, probably middle to late 60s right now, so access to that garage is important to them, that point of view. The other issue that we have with the site is it has a driveway that's about 100 feet long, and the slope of that driveway is about 14%. If you take a look at the area that they're in, their site is approximately 50% bigger than the other sites that basically surround this site. Their site is about... 6,600s. Most of the sites that are around them are about 3,300s or less. The issue right now, I guess, is they've gone from being workers where they just needed storage for the cars and trucks to actually being retired. And I think Charlie's getting ready to be retired at the end of this year. Which changes the need for for that garage area to be a little bit bigger, so it has room. One of the or two photographs that y'all have in the file basically shows their vehicles in the two-car garage, and you can tell that the facility's not large enough. One of the issues, I guess, is mobility and them getting a little bit farther along in age. We all have to deal with that issue. And of course, the best vehicle to do to keep you mobile is in essence your car or your truck. Anyway, that's the reason we're requesting this. And that foundation has been in place since 2011. And it was legally permitted and inspected through the process.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? Okay. Discussion among the board. I have a question for you, actually. So what I'm seeing in the pictures with the vehicles there, is the size of the pad that's constructed a two-car, is it the size of what you're proposing, or is you're going to be expanding?
We're going to be expanding it. It goes 8 feet to the back of those vehicles and 4 feet on either side. That foundation, Charlie worked for Gerdau, and they're basically in the construction industry. They do deformed rebar. That's what they used to do. I don't know what they're doing now, but it was bought out by a bigger company. But he basically built that it's got a retaining wall at the back that's probably close to 8 feet tall. And the sidewalls basically come up at an angle so that you pick up the slope. The good thing he did was he put the trench drain across the front, because that driveway coming down is downhill from Washington Pike, and the water coming down the hill. If he hadn't done that, we would have probably experienced more foundation damage. But that's part of the building process that we want to do.
Okay. Thank you.
And Lynn, you said that this was permitted back in 2011.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
It was permitted as a smaller structure.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you kind of talked about their age and mobility. Can you elaborate on that at all in terms of mobility? What's the advantage relationship of a larger garage?
Well, right now, actually, the owners are changing the use of that garage, because they were both employed, so they've used a garage for storage, and now Charlie, he has hobbies that he'll be taking up when he retires, and as a result of that, as you can see by the photographs, there's no way for him to have any type of hobby or anything else in what that footprint is.
So the purpose of the extension would be to, not for another car, but for storage in addition to.
Yeah. Well, storage and allow him to have space for his hobbies.
Brian, what's the limitation on the rest of the lot for, I mean, they can't build another accessory structure anywhere.
The residence on that site basically was an existing residence, and they bought it, I think it was probably pre 2010, but they were doing renovations to it, and that's how I got involved with them back before 2011.
Sure.
Takes off down that hill pretty good. It's about the only spot that you could put anything.
Which is part of why I'm interested in another accessory structure, if that would be allowed on this, a lot this size.
Mm-hmm. there was some issue about the height of the garage, and we took another look at that. The height of the house is 13 feet 10 inches, and the legal height of the garage is 13 feet.
So the maximum combination of multiple accessory structures on a lot that size can't exceed the building coverage of the primary structure. So basically, it could potentially put another accessory structure on it as long as it didn't exceed with the garage what the square footage of the home is.
So what's the square footage of the home?
Is it greater than?
It's a good size house.
Site plan to scale.
I mean, just like observationally speaking, it's bigger than the pad. But I'm making that up based on.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Based on the site plan, if this is to scale, you could fit that entire structure in there and then sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion to approve based on mobility issues in relationship to topography and the availability of an additional accessory structure and how that would be located on the site. The only place to locate another accessory structure is going to be on a hill. And accessibility becomes an issue. And I think it's reasonable in this case to make that exception based on topography, based on how that lot lays.
Yeah, I'll second that. But
okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion by the board? Okay. All right, so your vote. Right, so all those in favor of Daniel's motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? None. Motion is passed.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
All right, on to item 1D24 VA 806 Scenic Drive. Any staff comments?
The applicant is proposing an addition to an existing attached garage in an R1 zoning district. The proposed addition encroaches beyond the required minimum corner side setback of 12 feet 6 inches previously granted by a variance, and thus the applicant is requesting a decrease in this required setback to 7 feet 6 inches.
What would the number have been? What's this?
It would have been 15 feet.
It would have been 15. It was previously decreased and further. Okay.
Back when the original variance was done in 1989, it had two fronts, and so it would have had to meet 25 feet. So the variance was to decrease it down to 12 feet 6 inches.
Okay. All right, very good. Name and address for the record.
Taylor Forrester, 1111 North North Shore Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee. Here on behalf of the property owner and the applicant, as stated by staff, the purpose of this variance is the reduction of a corner side yard. We're requesting from 12.5 down to 7.5. So we're talking 5 feet. And the purpose of this request is for the expansion of an existing garage. This property in totality consists of approximately one acre, a little over acre and a half. The property's boundaries adjacent to three right-of-ways. The frontage of the residence space is scenic. Side yard is along Oakhurst, and at the rear is a Skagman Drive. The residents, including the attached garage, if you're familiar with this property, learned that it was originally constructed in the 1930s. The Baileys have owned the property since, I believe it's 1997. The aesthetics of the residents have remained largely the same to that which was constructed in the 1930s. In fact, the Baileys have committed significant effort in maintaining and preserving the original character of the residence, which includes the garage. The reason and need for the expansion of the garage is that it's no longer functional for today or even usable for what it was designed, originally constructed for, the parking of vehicles. I visited the property, and the sheer depth of the garage, or lack thereof, will not accommodate a standard common vehicle on the road today. And of course, I'm not an expert in the design or engineering of automobiles from the 1930s, but I have to assume, based on the size of the garage, that they were in fact substantially smaller than we have today. The Baileys are unable to expand the garage in the opposite direction, away from Oakhurst, internal to the property, because there exists a subterranean stairwell in between the garage and the residence. That's existed since the original construction, original design. The way the garage is situated, it's not directly parallel with Oakhurst. It's kind of catty-cornered, in the sense that it kind of cuts in between, facing towards Escagna and along the side of Oakhurst. And so, although we really need the depth, we can't accomplish the depth without having to go into that minimum setback area. If you're familiar with the property, there is it's a wrought iron fence around the property, and it has brick columns every, say, 8 feet or so. That fence is not going to be moved. It's going to remain in the same location. This expansion, if approved, will stay behind that fence. I've measured it, and it's basically kind of about half the distance of the existing garage wall and the existing fence. As support for the variance, again, the existing footprint not being functional, it, in today's world, is a deprivation of beneficial use as contemplated under the zoning ordinance. The variance request is the minimum necessary reduction. This, like I said, is not a major expansion. As you can see from the plans, is the bare minimum expansion that will be necessary to accommodate the intended use of the garage, which is parking a vehicle. Variance request in harmony with the general intent and purpose of the ordinance, will not be injurious to the neighborhood or detrimental to the public welfare. And it's not going to create any kind of site distance issue. And if the board's interested, we do have letters from neighbors, one along Escagna, and then one directly where the expansion, the garage is, where their driveway is. That neighbor across Oakhurst right there had written good letters in support of the Bailey's request. So again, the hardship being the lack of functionality of the existing 1930s garage is the basis of the hardship and the request for the variance here today.
Thank you. Anyone here to speak in opposition? Discussion on the board.
His explanation was pretty well thought through. And that told me everything I needed to know on this one. Working to maintain as much as they possibly can, and they're screened behind an existing fence against a right-of-way.
No effect to facilities at KUB either.
As much of the landscape that's existing along there is likely to be removed as a result of this?
There's only a minimum amount being removed. I think there's a tree against the existing wall, and a lot of the hedge that's next to the fence, I think, will remain, and anything that is removed will be replaced.
Yeah, that would be my primary concern, is if it removed all the landscape, it actually becomes more visible.
Right.
I feel a lot better about that with the person who looks at it being in support of it.
There's photos in there that kind of show the street view as well.
Based on this picture with the greenery there, the distance from the existing garage to the fence would only, you're saying it would only increase by about half?
5 feet, it's about what it is. So the way it's situated, it, that 5 feet kind of comes at an angle.
Okay.
So they've got their kind of garage storage containers on that side. It's screened and shielded. Those will still be over there. There's still plenty of room. And again, that one fence is not being moved.
Sorry, this isn't loading very quickly for me. What is the final size of, like, so it's being widened and deepened. What is the, do you have approximately what that's?
Total square footage.
The actual dimensional, approximate width of.
I think it's 6.5 feet along the side there.
So the total final width, though, would be
variance
in the 20s, but I don't have a scale.
Yeah.
I've got the plans printed if you'd rather.
Got some math happening over here. It looks to be about 20 feet wide, 22 feet wide, something to that effect.
The final structure.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. Okay. Yeah. So 20 wide. Yeah. Okay.
24 wide and 22 deep.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly not an oversized garage by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to make a motion that we approve this variance.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? This motion's passed. Item 1F24VA 1547 Finch Avenue. While the applicant makes their way up, is there any further? Did I pass something?
E.
Oh, I did, because your name was on it and I skipped right past you. Okay. All right, go back. Item 1E24VA 5628 Lions View Pike. Any further staff comment?
The applicant is proposing a new single family dwelling in an R1 zoning district. The front setback in an R1 in the R1 zone is plus or minus 10 feet of the average block base. Front setback has been determined to be 74.9 feet, which sets the minimum front setback at 64.9 feet and the maximum front setback at 84.9 feet. The applicant is requesting a front setback of 171 feet.
Thank you. Name?
Taylor Forrester, 1111 North North Shore Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. Here on behalf of the property owner, here requesting, as noted, the reduction in the minimum average block base setback. And I do have to admit, looking at zoning ordinance pretty much every day, I was shocked to learn of this. I had never had to deal with this one before and had to seek some explanation on it and finally got it and do understand. As you're aware from the pack, property is located on Lionsview Pike. If you're familiar with Lionsview Pike, largely consists of a bluff with steep hillside and slope. This property is located on the riverside of Lionsview Pike. This side of Lionsview Pike has probably the stretch of it has the kind of least buildable area for the majority of the lots. This is in fact a larger lot. Property, as you may know, was the former site of a residence known as the Villa Kalina. The house has been removed, but the building pad primarily still exists. The location that we're asking, based on the variance reduction or expansion of the setback, is to put the house, the new proposed house, in largely the same footprint on that same building pad as where the prior residence was. If you're familiar with this property, I drive by it fairly often, several days a week, taking kids to and from school, and always aware of the steepness of the grade there, but actually visited the property and wasn't aware of how steep it is right off of Lionsview Pike. There's approximately like a 20-foot drop as soon as you enter the property there. And having to, and that's the highest balance of the property, is the boundary there adjacent to Lionsview Pike. Even if you tried to develop it at the maximum permitted setback allowed of that average, the 84.9 feet, Again, you would end up with the residence at the base of a 20-foot slope drop-off. Constructing the residence in this location would require pretty much a full-length retaining wall that in some sections would be close to 13 and a half feet tall. Although although in trying to keep and understand the ordinance, the character of the street and the intent behind it, this 84.9 maximum setback will in fact be out of character from a visual standpoint, especially when you consider the residence to the south of the property, which is the residence lots located closer to North Shore. Those residents are substantially further from Linesview Pike. So when averaging this, you have a lot of smaller lots on the opposite direction of North Shore from our property. Those smaller lots are on much steeper bluffs with no depth to the property. And submit that's kind of the reason those had to be constructed where they were, is there was no other buildable area. We do have support from our neighbors to the south. The property owner that has the five tracts that was here this last meeting, which was December, I've spoken with him on it and he supports it, as well as the property next to that neighbor. It's owned by the Willoughbys. We do have a letter of support of the requested variance there. I believe this meets the kind of classic definition for a hardship based on topography, steepness of grade. It won't be out of character. It won't be in conflict or out of conformity with the zoning ordinance, and it's consistent with the general development plan, and ask that you approve the variance to allow the setback up to 171 feet.
Thank you. Is anyone here to speak in opposition? Good. Discussion among board.
It's a steep lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't put any closer and get the driveway to where you can even get the access to the project.
Yep.
Discussion.
I'll make a motion to approve 1E24VA as it's submitted based on topography.
And I'll second.
Good motion and second. Any further discussion? All right, ready for a vote.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Y'all are done with me.
Thank you.
All right. For real this time. Item 1F24VA, 1547 Clinch Avenue. Any staff comments?
This one is a variance request, but the staff comments, I'll just read it off for both. The applicant is altering an existing building in a CN zoning district, which includes a change of use from medical dental office to mixed-use multi-tenant to accommodate multiple retail tenants. Due to the change of use, the off-street parking requirements need to be recalculated, and based on the use and 40% CN zone reduction, the minimum required parking provided should be 10 spaces. And then for the accessory structure, the applicant is also requesting relocating the refuse dumpster and associated enclosure abutting the north wall. Accessory structures, including refuse dumpsters, require a minimum setback of 5 feet. The first variance request is for the minimum parking.
All right, name and address for the record.
Yeah, Forrest Kirkpatrick, 214 West Magnolia Avenue.
Good. And tell us about your request and your hardship.
Yeah, so this is an existing but non-conforming parking lot. The parking requirements in this zone with the 40% reduction gives us 10, but we are requesting to reduce that to 5. Five being the only number or the maximum number that we can safely fit on that lot given zoning requirements for drive aisles and the dimensions of the parking areas.
Okay. Good. Is anyone here to speak in opposition? No. Discussion among the board.
Have you looked at other configurations on parking and this is all we could come up with?
Correct. And this is taking into consideration the size of the parking spaces themselves, the required dimensions of the drive aisles, and then requirements for accessible parking.
Okay. It looks like the previous configuration was diagonal, but there wouldn't have been a turnaround. It's probably the concern there, not enough width for a turnaround.
Yeah, so the first slide is the existing is a survey of the existing conditions, with this slide being our proposed configuration.
To me, this is one of those sort of unfortunate things with, you know, that when we end up with existing buildings and especially looking to repurpose them, you can't create more land. So I appreciate that you could get the number you got in there because it is narrow. So in terms of the parking, I don't really have an issue there. What was the reasoning on the dumpster?
Right.
I guess maybe describe that a little bit better in the hardship there of why it needs to be where you're asking for it to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I may back up just a moment. So I'm here on behalf of the property owner. And their intent is to get as much legal parking safely on the site as possible. It's for off-street loading and unloading of goods. And then the parking spaces are for accessibility and then primarily for employees. This being in the Fort Sanders neighborhood, we see this being a pedestrian market, which leads into the placement of the dumpster enclosure. We have it located 5 feet from our property line on 16th, but on the northern property line that is shared with the neighboring property, and there is a 4 to 8 foot tall retaining wall there currently. So our intent with putting the dumpster there is to allow access from the street for a dump truck to come and access it and then back out to the street and move on. Because being able to turn around a vehicle like that in this parking area is infeasible. So the variance request is to basically attach the dumpster enclosure to that retaining wall. And so it's that 5 feet that we're discussing. As far as the flow of the neighborhood, I think with that wall being there, then having our primarily private or employee parking to the inside of that dumpster, that helps to define the sidewalk along with the building line for pedestrian use.
Thank you. I think one concern to me, I look at this and I'm not sure how that would be serviced.
That's what I was thinking.
That dumpster will be on wheels. So it being orthogonal to its enclosure, that's what's determining the width of that enclosure. The reality is that it will never sit in that configuration. It'll be tilted.
The dumpster would be tilted toward the opening.
Yeah, but it's enclosed with doors, so you know that won't be visible.
The other concern there is the, I don't know how often traffic trucks going to be there to pick up, but the idea that it has to be backing out, is that a concern with engineering?
There's no one here from engineering.
Excellent. Okay.
The unfortunate reality of the dimensional constraints of that parking area is that backing out is going to happen no matter what. The dumpster is required by zone. So
yeah.
Is it dumpster required or are there other options?
Have you talked with Waste Connections about servicing that to see?
No, we have not. We wanted to make sure that our location would be accepted before bringing them.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I think that's kind of where I'm going. If there was another alternative, the cans or something else.
If we could put cans in there and it could just be, you know, serviced by workers, size, that would be greater.
You know what size dumpster that is? They may also have an option for side loading on a couple smaller trucks, maybe. But
yeah,
we're considering sort of gymnastics to make something work that may not actually be a feasible solution anyway.
Cans could look.
Yeah.
So we haven't gone first. We wanted to make sure that we could put the required enclosure in this location, hence the variance, while maintaining our drive aisles for the parking.
Right. For me, that's a little chicken or the egg because saying yes to something that doesn't work physically, practically, without knowing that Waste Connections will service it. We're being asked to say yes to something that may not work. You know, that, Let me ask if there was opposition.
I did, yeah.
I'm personally very comfortable with item number one.
I'm having a really hard time visualizing.
I just don't know how a truck will turn around there. I think that potentially what could be allowed is they can back in and service from the side with cans. I believe I've seen that on a recent drawing, and Waste Connections said that would be fine, and they could get that approved. That would be a fine way to do it. But that way, they're pulling you straight out on the 17th instead of. But 17th to do that, I would be surprised if engineering doesn't have a 16th, problem with that.
Yeah.
Or 16th. Yeah, it's not quite as busy as 17th. But the other problem he has is, where do you put it?
Yeah.
How do you do it? Because there isn't a place for the truck to turn around with, I don't think.
There's not. We did meet with engineering yesterday in a pre-discussion meeting for this project. And that was our second pre-discussion meeting with engineering involved.
What did they say?
They've worked with us on developing. We've worked with Austin Boswell over there on developing this site plan.
And that's where he wanted it to go?
Yeah. I mean, he's not here, so.
You can tell us anything you want.
I can tell you whatever.
Okay.
I may already be getting an email from him, I guess.
Any other questions and discussion from you all?
I'm just wondering how the original 10 spaces worked.
They didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, they weren't permitted.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they were definitely non-conforming. Our intent is to be able to allocate that space for the collection of refuse and trash, and we want to come up with the optimal solution with waste management. I'm happy if that is a condition of the
approval. Did Peter go to find someone in engineering, or?
No, I'm not sure. He stepped out and didn't mention it.
Okay. He didn't say where he was headed.
And you mentioned it's an 8-foot retaining wall. Is that like at the curb?
It's more 6 feet in this area.
But it's from the asphalt up at 6 or 8 feet?
Yes.
Okay. So it basically has the back edge of what you're proposing as your enclosure.
Yeah. So we're attaching
directly to the existing wall.
Yes. This is also the tail end of the wall, the eastern side of that wall. Has a corner to it, so it's supported. This will help, not that the wall is unstable, but this will help to keep the wall from moving in the future.
that if you have that street and I'm lost a little bit. Okay. Does anyone feel prepared to make a motion?
I've got one I'm going to make. I'm happy to make one. Not that you're asking me directly, but that without engineering being here, I'm not yet comfortable with the trash. So I'm willing to make a motion to approve item number one. And I'd like to postpone item number two. We could do that separately. I know we could do that, but
we also have to know if.
Are you wanting to do a motion to push it to the end of the agenda?
Well, I could do that first. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd probably be easiest.
Would we do that as just item two or the whole thing?
I mean, if you all are ready to take a vote on number one, you could go ahead and do that and then postpone part two to the end of the meeting and we can see if we can grab someone from engineering.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying that as a matter of discussion for the board because I don't think. But...
No, I'm just trying to understand the procedural part too.
You can do it either way.
Okay. I mean, I'm not opposed to that as a concept that gives us a little bit more time in case there is someone who can speak to it on the city's behalf.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So did we make a motion or did we not make a motion?
No, I think
it was an idea of a motion. It wasn't technically a motion. So he's got to redo that. Yes.
You care to stick around for a little bit? Let's see if Peter shows up with the engineer. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion then to approve, item number one on 1F24VA as it is submitted.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
And I'll make a motion to postpone item number two on 1F24VA until the end of our meeting today. Start with.
Okay, we have a motion. We need a second.
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of postponing the item two?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. Item 1G24VA, 311 Pacific Street. While our applicant's making their way up, the city have any further comments?
The applicant is proposing an addition to an existing single family dwelling located in an O zoning district. The proposed addition is located at the southwest corner of the existing structure and would encroach into the minimum required interior side setback of 15 feet. The applicant is requesting a reduction of the interior side setback from 15 feet to 5 feet to accommodate this addition. The applicant is also requesting a reduction in the required minimum ground floor transparency of 30%. To 0% for the front facade of this addition that faces the street.
Thank you. All right. Hi. State your name and address for the record.
Tommy Allen, 741 Banks Avenue. The primary hardship for this is, as you can see on there, the basement hatch that's at the rear that would be quite cost prohibitive and impractical to relocate for this young family that's wanting to add on for their growing family. They're wanting to basically double the size of the house, but obviously they would like to keep their access to their basement if possible. And this is a lot that's zoned office, but it's always been a historic house and always used as a residence. The front facade is set back pretty significantly, so we're asking for a reduction in the transparency. There will likely be windows in this facade, but we just haven't gotten that far in design to know. We don't think 30% transparency is likely for that spot though. And furthermore, on the south, the houses run vertical north south there, and so those are all backyards that run along there. The one square that you do see there next to the property line is just a storage building for one of those houses.
So I guess there's a couple of things here, and they both really come back to, you know, one of our charges is this the minimum request, right? That, and I think that's coming up for me in both of those, that, you know, looking at the 5 feet, understanding that you have some access issues potentially with that basement hatch. I'm just wondering, it seems like it could have been set back a little bit better than 5 feet and still have missed that hatch. So can you, maybe there's something I'm not seeing when I'm just looking at it flat like this.
Well, the main reason is that we're looking to have it's raised. So that playroom is raised. It's not on grade with that patio there. And so setting back for a potential deck that would be in front of the opening there and giving clearance for the hatch itself. That was the main thinking there. The 5 foot was also based on the residential setbacks that are the RN2 setbacks that were already kind of around the site. Additionally, there's that steep part in the corner that kind of reduces the usable yard space. The family did want to maximize their yard space. So that was one consideration with pushing it as far as we could.
I remember RN2 5 feet, but combined 20.
Wait, say that again? Sorry.
Isn't it 5 foot setback, but combined on both sides, it's got to be 20?
15. It's 5 combined 15.
5 combined 15.
In an RN2.
In an RN2?
Okay.
We've got a 5 and a 5.
It's the O.
Yes.
Or an O.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're talking about the existing. It's almost too bad it's not flipped, because then it would be in keeping with what's already out of compliance.
Transparency at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, areas out of be out of compliance. It's an O zoning.
No, I just look at, I mean, if we went with the 5 and 15 total, I still think that this, I think there's some give there still to 5 is maybe pushing it a little bit further than absolutely necessary.
I want to put it right there too. I mean, it's not a wide lot. It's a narrow lot. Mm-hmm. It's maximizing your backyard. I understand why they put it there.
No, I understand why too, but again, what our charges, and I mean the same with the transparency. I really struggle with that, of coming to ask for a transparency.
But this is on an existing house, right? Maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, but the transparency, what's driving the transparency?
It's on this face.
It would just be on that one face that's of the addition. That's
not made. Because of the existing house too?
I'm sorry?
Not because of the existing house as well?
No, I mean, it's set back 44 feet from the front facade, so
it only would be the new.
It triggers because it's over 30% of the origin of the existing.
And the answer to going to zero is they just haven't gotten that far in the design, as opposed to, you know, going from 30 to 10%, it just hasn't been determined yet.
Okay, hear that.
I'm struggling with that too.
And it's not that I would oppose it. I just, it would be going to zero. Just isn't what we're.
In this case, the minimum to me, I'm okay with living that as a gray area for this, because it's maximizing the use of the property, and it's a narrow lot that's really intended to be a residential lot and an O zone. And so I get that transparency thing. I get what you're saying for sure on the design aspect.
I think I forgot to ask. Is anyone here in opposition? Sorry, continue the discussion. Any further discussion or questions for the applicant?
And you aren't any further along in design of the actual?
Not at the moment. They wanted to hold off on paying fees for something that
sure
they weren't sure of.
Yeah, I hate that.
I think I agree that this is best use of such a narrow lot, despite the large variances.
One thing that's not shown on this, and maybe if there's an aerial view that we could look at, there's a driveway between the house to the north and that house that was a shared driveway at one point, because it was two family members that owned those houses. That driveway is kind of halfway in their lot, and that also reduces their usable lot as well.
You talking about this space right here?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I saw one of the images, but maybe.
Yeah,
there it is. What's in the basement of the house?
Their HVACs, all their systems, their maintenance. Down there? Yeah, they're down there, and then just tool storage mostly.
Okay.
Regular storage.
So HVAC system and all of their equipment is in that basement?
Correct.
So this is the only access to get to it?
Correct.
Okay. That changes my mind.
Anyone prepared to make a motion?
Well, what this boils down to me is we're going to ask you to come back and submit a second fee for the transparency. In other words, like if we're not okay with transparency, they have to reapply after further design.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a or does that fee. Item get postponed?
Get postponed, yeah.
Get paper item.
Who wants to make a motion?
Is this something where you would be able to propose a different percentage that could get approved? Or does it have to get approved as written?
Don't really work that way.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't really tell you what
we're our planning okay commission with. Okay.
Yeah, because of what my colleague's talking about, the we're charged with the minimum adjustment necessary.
Oh, I see.
So in order to get a minimum, you have to present what you need, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we probably, I'm not gonna speak to it, I'll just say I get the maybe the need for some transparency adjustment there, but what is that? And what is the minimum that you need, and you know, it will work?
Because it might not be zero later on.
Right.
Just need a little bit further design.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So what we would, I'll make a motion, then I'll just do it. Make a motion for 1G24VA. That's the right one, right? Well, 1G24.
Yeah.
1G24VA. To approve item number one as it's submitted.
I approve that motion, or I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, item one has passed.
And I'll make a motion to postpone item number two to our March 2024 meeting.
So I also second that motion.
Are you in agreement with that?
I'm just curious about the procedures. Is there, if I do meet the 30%, is there no need to really come back? If we get design it far enough to meet the 30%. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you achieve 30%, you don't need to see us. And if you come back and you know more specific.
Okay.
Yeah. I think my issue there is just simply that it hasn't been designed. So you don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Okay.
Okay.
Well, the approving the first one is super helpful in moving the ball forward. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Did we vote on the postponement?
No, not yet. That was just discussion. So all those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. The item number two will be postponed.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're into February. Item 2A24VA. While our applicant is making their way up, she's here. Staff, do you have any more comments?
The applicant is proposing a circular driveway in the front yard of a single family dwelling along Sherwood Drive near the intersection of Arden Road, located in an EN zoning district. The minimum corner clearance distance between a driveway and intersecting street is 50 feet. For Article 11.7b, Table 11.6. The applicant is requesting a reduction in the minimum corner clearance between a driveway and an intersecting street to 33 feet, 10 and 3/8 inch per the provided site plan.
Okay. Please state your name and address for the record.
Holly Williams, 5404 Blue Ridge Drive.
Okay. And please describe your variance request and hardship.
I am here on behalf of the applicant and the homeowner. And so we are asking for a variance to reduce the required setback from intersection of two local streets. The intersection of two local street variances is 50 feet. And when we started this renovation for this owner, they've been in this home for 20 years and they've had a Sherwood Drive address, but they've never had a driveway or access from Sherwood Drive to their home. Which is a hardship in itself. They've had multiple guests get lost, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. But the joke in their family is they've never had a pizza actually delivered to their home because nobody can find their address or locate them on Sherwood. And so that's been a hardship in itself that they've never had their entry on the street that they're addressed. They'd also like to have this one level entry circular drive from Sherwood that allows them to enter and exit and not have to back out onto any of the streets. Currently, with their existing driveway that they're removing because they have five drivers in their family, five cars, they've not been able to really turn around hardly ever within their driveway. And so they've had to back out onto Arden. Luckily, for the variance that we're requesting, Arden's a local street, but it's a pretty small local street. So that's why we were comfortable requesting this variance to reduce the distance between Arden. We felt like that was sort of the minimum adjustment necessary to get them their circular drive and their entry onto Sherwood. We're also asking for this, just again, we're designing this renovation as an age in place for this family. And so in the event that they're unable to use stairs from their back garage and their backyard to get into their house, they're able to access their home on the main level. And then this circular drive also allows for them to have guest parking. It's, not all the time parking, but because Sherwood and Arden are pretty narrow, that would get all guest parking off the street and keep the streets clear and safe. We're still well below our impervious surface coverage. The neighbors, we don't have official letters from the neighbors, but we've talked to the neighbors and the neighbors are in favor of the circular driveway.
Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? Staff, board discussion. My first question would be to the engineering side of things. Is engineering and
where's our engineer go?
Just here.
I saw Josh.
Yeah, where are you?
I believe he stepped out to speak with Austin Boswell for the other application.
Yeah, yeah. I have an inherent problem with reducing the corner clearance when we don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at, were there any other,
obviously. You could do a hammerhead and have the very similar outcome.
Or even, I didn't know, is the clearance on the corner the same on Sherwood as it would be on Arden?
Yes.
Yeah. The same level street, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absent an engineer, I can tell you if they had strong opinions.
they would have been identified in the staff comments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any issues getting their mail delivered day to day?
Issues what?
Getting your mail delivered day to day.
Yes. I mean, our mailbox is on Arden.
Right.
But it says Sherwood. So, you know, the mail lady's been there for 15 years finally got to know us. Mm-hmm. But packages get lost.
Well, the actual question, has he spoken to the addressing department, the city of Knoxville, about switching your address to an I don't mean to, but Arden Road address. Fire department usually likes to have the address match the driveway.
We agree. And you know, you've been there 20 years?
23 years.
23 years. And, you know, it's that house.
It's on Sherwood Drive. The front door is on Sherwood.
That faces the front face, the length of the house faces Sherwood Drive.
And it's been that way forever, and I get that. But what I'm saying is that if you called it, I'm wondering if you've called the addressing department to say, can we just change our address off of Arden Street?
We don't want
to
change it off of Arden, because then that lowers the value of your house.
And I get that. But possible, something being possible versus hardship is what we have to qualify. And I think we need to come up to the microphone, don't we?
Yeah.
If we're going to continue to ask questions right. of her, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it's on the record. Yeah.
Right. We're charged with hardship, which is kind of what this board's purview with. And we're looking for a hardship to justify the variance request. And my first issue is not even distances. It's more just that I think you can fix the location of your address. And that's what I'm asking about. And I get that Sherwood is a more valuable address, at least in theory, for sure. But that kind of eliminates, from my perspective, any kind of hardship that we would be charged with being able to say yes to.
So I have to say, I disagree with that, because I don't,
sure.
You know, I think asking a homeowner to change an address after 23 years of being somewhere, that creates a whole different kind of hardship than, you know, when the house is not moved and we face Sherwood. I mean, there's something to be said about the front facing of your house facing the street that you're addressed to. I mean, I know it happens all the time, but.
Yeah. And I'll take a different tack to that, that I'm less worried about what your address is and you have, you know, you would like to add a driveway, and there are different types of driveways, different ways to do this. And I think I would lean more in that discussion than worry about the address of, even if it was the side and you wanted one. I'm just, it's trying to, you could easily fit other configurations of driveway in the available land without having to create the circle driveway. And I'm trying to, you know, I hear you that you want the ability for, you know, the narrower driveway and be able to pull through. I'm hearing some of that to help clarify, like why that is the only solution. Because I think that's a little bit like we're asking for a variance, but it's not because you can't have a driveway. It's because you want this particular type of driveway.
And that's kind of my point with the address and comment. It said it in a different way.
One of the hardships listed here, and correct me, I guess this is only in the staff comments. This is an accessible route to the home without stairs. That's the only spot in your home.
Yes. Where... I mean, we're on a pretty sloped lot, and someone who's looking for a knee replacement in the future, I need to have stairs. And again, that could be potentially accomplished with a different type as opposed to the circular.
Geometry can be different.
But, yeah.
Where does the driveway come off of?
Only the one end of the circle driveway is out of compliance. The other one is fine.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So it's
so you could do that
come way. In, you could be in front of the building and then back your way around and back out in the same.
Yeah. Driveway. And in order to get the circle and to get, I don't know that you could have done a tighter circle.
That's about the in the spirit of the ordinance, we did the circle as tight as we could get it, and you know, to scoot it over to keep it where they're able to do that. The owner had requested a circular driveway, but there are also multiple circular driveways along Sherwood, so it's also keeping in the spirit of the existing street.
Y'all are better this time, but they would have enough. Yeah, like that. But does they'd have enough? In code will let them do that.
Oh yeah,
and get enough room to.
Oh yeah.
Because I know I do know there's some, and I don't have the zoning ordinance memorized right now off the top of my head, but I know there's also some restrictions about kind of what you're referring to as far as turnaround space and how much paving in the front yard we're allowed to have. And this was within that minimum. The only issue is the corner setback.
On the back side of the house, you drive in to the back side, downstairs and walk up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I mean, Arden especially is so narrow. Sherwood is so narrow. So parking along the street just wrecks havoc on traffic.
So I don't know if this question was ever answered. Do you consider other configurations for your driveway, or, and if not, why not?
Our biggest issue is with three daughters driving, backing out on Sherwood.
Okay.
And I don't want like a parking lot in Sherwood. I mean, you know, so, I mean, not even just our children, but friends have backed out, hit mailboxes. You know, it's just so narrow and tight. We just drove around and saw, I mean, it is in keeping with the neighborhood, like Holly said.
Sorry, go ahead.
Can you fit two cars side to side on that driveway? Like, can you, you know what
I mean? They could pass?
Right.
No, pretty much, no, that driveway is 12 feet wide.
Okay.
So, you know, vehicles now are big. And so that's really just a single pull through. That's not a side by side parking. We had actually thought we wanted to do something a little bit wider, but after some consultation, we narrowed it down to make it as narrow as possible to allow her husband's full size vehicle to fit in the driveway.
You said that this is the minimum circle or
radius. We made it pretty much as tight as we can make it and still be able to make the turn.
Okay.
Okay. Is it good?
So sorry, keep asking. What was the objection to cutting into the corner? I'm just looking at the percentage of what this variance is, right? From 50 inches to 33 inches.
It's just adding another conflict zone at an intersection. That's the reason that you've got a distance there.
Okay.
Yeah, they typically do that for safety reasons. I tend to have more concerns when it's a commercial, when you're going to have a higher volume, you know, a single car coming from a residence in a residential neighborhood's not quite as concerning on safety,
right.
But my biggest issue here is there other alternatives and even looking at the adjacent neighbors,
that's the way they
in this particular zone, most are just
that way.
The you know straight approach with some turnaround space, it would accomplish getting you at your level entry.
Yeah.
I think it would hit some of those key things that are the hardships and the reason you need the additional driveway. I hear you on 16-year-olds backing up. I know people who are much older than that who can't back up. But again, this is the minimum necessary and.
Hey Josh.
Hello.
How are you? You just sat down, but have you looked at this before?
I realized that I was sick, but when the reviews were done.
Okay.
So I don't know if I actually seen it, but I'm happy to look at it.
You have any problem with that? I don't know.
The reduction of the intersection distance.
Can you take a look at this real quick for us and tell us if engineering would have any issue with it? And while he's doing that, so hardship is specific mostly to geographic factors, topography, soil conditions, the
lot size.
Right. Legal hardships can also apply, things like that, but it's mostly geographic conditions about the lot itself. What is the specific hardship for the specific second exit of that driveway going around versus doing a pull-in driveway where you park off to the side and then you turn around and go straight back out that same driveway? Is there a specific hardship for the need for the circle versus or the half circle versus a straight on approach for the driveway?
I mean, I would say our specific hardship is to be able to pull through and exit without having to turn around. Somebody be able to go straight and go all the way through without having to turn around.
Without having to turn around. Okay.
So the hardship on topography to get them to the first level, you could accomplish both.
Right, it's right.
The perceived safety.
A main level entry is the topographic hardship. Because right now,
but you could accomplish that with different forms, is what I was saying.
That's what I'm asking about is the specific form. Yeah. Because the topography is solved if we come off of Sherwood with the driveway.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Have some input.
Yes, sir.
From a safety standpoint, I don't have any concerns, just being nature of a residential, two local roads. Just looking at it, it would seem that the circle could be made smaller and the intersection distance obtained and still have a circular driveway. If you're just kind of squeezed in,
it's the smallest circle you can get.
The depth of that circle is part of it, right? Would you like if that were made shallower, it would therefore,
right? So the smallest per ordinance would be 10 foot driveway with a 10 foot separation. Obviously that would be tight for a bicycle. Mm-hmm. But so anywhere from there up, you could kind of scale it up and maybe there'd be a workable size.
But you're also saying, so on one hand, yes, it could be made narrower, but on the other hand, you don't have any safety concerns.
Correct. Okay. I think with it being two local roads in a residential area, people are used to low speeds, people pulling out.
Any further questions or discussion?
Make a motion we deny this variance. I haven't seen a hardship.
So there's a motion to deny. Is there a second? Okay, looks like we don't have a second on that one. Someone willing to make another motion?
I'll make a motion to approve 2A24 VA.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nope.
Okay. The motion's been granted.
Thank you.
Okay. On to item 2C24 VA, Virginia Avenue and Vermont Avenue. And as the applicant makes their way forward, city staff, any comments?
Yes, the applicant is proposing a multifamily development on a 3-lot in an RN6 zoning district. For Article 2.4.I of the zoning ordinance, a through lot is defined as a lot that fronts upon two parallel streets or which fronts upon two streets which do not intersect at the boundaries of the lot. A through lot is also called a double frontage lot. This would require the proposed buildings that front along Virginia Avenue to meet the setback standards for a front. The front setback for a structure over 35 feet in height in an RN6 zoning district is 35 feet.
Sorry. Okay, please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, Adam Wilson, 2704 Cherokee Farm Way, here speaking on behalf of the developer. So this application is in regards to Western Heights Phase 1. This piece of property is bound by Vermont Avenue to the north and Virginia Avenue to the south. Between these two roads, there's about 110 foot of elevation change. Last year, we went through the rezoning of this piece of property and rezoned to the RN6, as stated. During the rezoning process, we concurrently applied to the board and were approved a variance for reducing the building setback on Vermont Avenue from 25 foot to 10 foot. What we kind of missed was that on Virginia Avenue, the building height would be 35 foot. Now, both buildings along Virginia Avenue and Vermont Avenue are of the same mass and of the same height. The one along Virginia Avenue is just exceeding the 35 foot elevation because of the road being on the lower half of the building. So the request for this application would be to reduce the building setback from 35 foot to a 10 foot setback along Virginia Avenue due to the 110 foot topographical elevation change between the two roads.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? Okay. There's another person on the screen. Is that someone here to
talk? She's the architect with us. Okay, so yes.
Does she have something to say or just here to answer questions?
I think she's just on in case anything architecturally came up that she needed to answer. Yeah.
Okay, just checking. So open now for board discussion. So the 35 foot, you're saying because of its 35 feet in height, it would have a 35 foot setback, and therefore you're requesting that variance.
Correct. So last year
I remember this one coming before.
Yeah.
This,
so. And we, you know, in our description, we said, you know, we would like to reduce the setback from 25 foot to 10 foot and mentioned both Vermont and Virginia Avenue. What we missed is that along Virginia Avenue, it's actually 35 foot because the building height, it exceeds that 35 foot threshold. So even though we requested it along both streets during last year's application, we missed the fact that the lower one is 35 foot instead of 25 foot.
Got it. Okay. Any other questions or discussion?
I was fine with it then. I'm fine with it now.
I was thinking the same thing. We have two new members with us, though.
I don't have an issue with it
or not.
110 feet is a big challenge to overcome.
Yeah. Issue
with parking in the middle.
Yeah. I have no issue either.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, anyone ready to make a motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion to approve 2-C-24-VA as requested.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? And this has approved.
Thanks, Dr. Ellis, Tom.
All right, we are now revisiting 1F24VA item 2 that was postponed earlier in the meeting. So item 2 was a request to reduce the minimum required setback for the dumpster from 5 feet to 0. And I know there were some questions for engineering, and engineering is now
present. You want me to ask the question?
Yeah.
Josh, the dumpster.
Yes.
Right there. We were wondering about getting access to it. Does that work? Would engineering have a problem with that? Or did they have a problem with it? Because I think it's been reviewed, right?
So when you met with Austin, he was under the assumption that if it was being seen in BZA, I would have looked at it and made any comments. Okay. But this was the meeting I was sick and did not have a chance to review it. So that's where the confusion happened.
Okay.
If it's a stationary dumpster, I would have issues with it. If there's a possibility for a rollout dumpster, then that changes things. But yeah, as far as a truck being able to get in there, we had typically asked for a turning template for a stationary.
Did you say it would be on wheels?
Yes, in the discussion that we had in our project discussion meeting yesterday, which Austin was a part of that as well, he saw the drawings where the dumpster is on wheels, and we had that conversation.
With it being on wheels, the navigating of the truck concerns would go away for engineering.
Okay.
Any other questions or discussion?
Should we approve the 5 foot or the reduction of the rear yard setback?
Yes.
Seconded.
It's 1 of 24
feet. Yeah. Right. From 5 feet to 0 feet.
Second the motion.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I think I'm personally, just knowing how tight this all is, if engineering is comfortable with that, I fully understand the need to push it back as far as possible to keep that driveway. I feel better having engineering's input on that. So, all right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? None. Motion has passed. Thank you for allowing us to circle back.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
I believe that's the end of our new business. So our next BZA meeting will be held on March 19th in the small assembly room. Officially adjourned.